Well, one thing that's very important that you understand, and if you take cognizance on the fact that it isn't about you, you know, and that often when we're prophetic, we actually wear our emotion on our sleeves. It's just reality. I remember someone coming to me at a conference and says, look, I've got these two people of mine to speak. Who do you feel should share? And so I prayed a real quick prayer, and I said, I feel like the Lord's just told me so-and-so is to share. And he goes, well, you're the only person that feels that way. And I said, well, that doesn't mean that I'm wrong. And then he said, well, maybe I'll just flip a coin. And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit said, tell him to do that. Like the Urim and the Thurim in the Old Testament, when they were rolled out, it would reveal the will of God. And I said, the Lord says, tell him to do that and I'll reveal my will. So he did that. He flipped the coin and it came up my guy again. Well, he still had the other guy share, and he came to me afterwards and said, actually, I just wanted to hear the guy speak. I felt so disrespected. I felt like he really didn't honor me, didn't really want to hear, and I was upset. And I came home and I told my wife, I told her the story and everything, and she could see I was upset. She said, well, you need to practice what you preach. See, our wives do that to us sometimes. And I go, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you tell everybody, once you share with and give it to the leadership, it becomes their responsibility. So just wipe your hands of it. You know what? That set me free. Something I teach all the time. My wife had to remind me to put it to practice in my life. You know, that's why they're helpmates. Sometimes they help us when we don't want any help. We don't want to be helped. That's a better way of saying it. So I think my opinion is, and I think sometimes the prophetic people have actually tried to become too prophetic, too politically correct, for one thing. And I think that sometimes we don't say everything that needs to be said. I was telling Mark a story. I won't tell it to you, but... No, I won't tell it to you. Some of you would be offended, and I don't want you to be offended by it. But in the equation, it was an unusual thing. But these prophetic guys I was with, they actually stated that most prophetic people actually water down the essence of what God is saying by trying to be politically correct so nobody will be offended. Sometimes we need to say things that will offend. But my opinion is, if it's pertaining to any person in your church, you need to come and share it with your leaders. Because the leaders are the ones that have to account to God for the flock under their care. So the leaders need to be aware, and it's at their discretion, because they might know more about the equation than you know about it, and that it would not be helpful if you shared with that person that thing. But my opinion is, if not everything God shows you, you need to declare. Some of it He's just showing you so you can intercede and pray against certain things. I know a person, and this person always would say, when something terrible happens, they'd say, oh, the Lord showed me that. Lord showed me that. So eventually I just said, Lord, what can I do? Because this just irritates me that every time something significant happens in the world, they tell me, oh, the Lord already showed them that. Which is like elevates them to a place of, well, I'm better than you because I knew. Yeah. So I asked them, then the Lord says, well, ask them, what did they do about it? So I said to the person, well, what did you do about it? And they said, well, nothing, I just knew. I said, well, don't you think maybe God has revealed something to you so that you can intercede and pray against that happening? See, sometimes God doesn't do anything without showing the prophets. But when you look biblically, when God revealed to Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham being a prophetic voice, what did he do? Abraham interceded to the point where he didn't have faith to intercede anymore. And so sometimes we need to just intercede so that that doesn't happen. Now, I mean, I don't know if there was much uproar about the last blood moon, but in America, the Christian community, all these prophetic people were saying, yeah, the world's going to come to an end. You better have a stockpile of food. You better do this. Everything's going to happen. The money's going to collapse and all these things. I almost feel like, you know, because it was some prominent Christian magazines that were carrying all the information, and you almost feel like writing in saying, hey, how's that end of the world going for you? Come on now. See, when we do something publicly, I feel we need to be held accountable publicly. And the dilemma is within most people, if they say something that's erroneous or wrong, they just don't say anything for a while, then they come back out of their hibernation. And they think it goes away. But let's be honest. A person could share good things all the time, and good things happen all the time, and then they share one thing that doesn't come to pass. What do you think the people remember? They remember what didn't come to pass, and he didn't own up to being wrong. And sometimes it's not that they're wrong. Sometimes it's because people interceded and thwarted what was declared. So it's a multifaceted thing that goes on, and that's why we need real wisdom and we need leaders to help us to weave our way through the minefield of prophetic things that don't happen and prophetic things that are spoken and don't take place. But the reality is sometimes in my own life, I've had prophetic words that were given to me 38 years ago that only began taking place 2 years ago. Now, in the natural, our inclination is if it doesn't start happening within the next 3 or 4 or 5 months, we think the guy missed it. Yeah. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I know there was an English prophetic guy that came out to South Africa before the transition of government, and they declared that blood would be running in the streets of South Africa. You know what? That never happened. Well, the guy never took responsibility for it. He justified it and said, well, the spirit of murder that was in South Africa left and went to Rwanda. And look at the genocide that happened up there. Well, that happened 15 years later, or 5 years later. I don't believe that. But you know what? He doesn't have a ministry in South Africa anymore either. I've never heard him come back. So I think if you're in a local church, my opinion is share it with your elders. Let the elders take responsibility for if they want you to share that word, or they'll take the word and speak to the person about it. Second thing I would say is if you have negative, always have negative things that come to you, generally there's a problem in your life. If all you get is negative things, you have a problem. Because it's how you see things. It's your perception. And generally, you've been hurt, and somehow you're looking through your hurts, and all you see is the negativity. And so we need to be careful of that. So does that help you a little bit? All right. Any other questions? These are good questions. Do you find they're good? Okay. See, long as they're helpful, I'm happy to have a... Anybody else have a question? If not, that's fine. We'll just carry on. Be careful you don't scratch your eye. You know, I see that hand. I'm just teasing. No more questions? Okay. It's good. Was it helpful then this morning? Oh, okay, yes. You got a question. You don't have to apologize. I've asked you to share. Sure. Yeah. Don't take this wrong, but generally our children are a reflection of us. Just like as leaders in a church, the congregation will be a reflection of the leaders. So I think this is my opinion again. I'm going to share just in a moment 25 different ways we hear from God. I think a lot of it is teaching children to begin to understand that in the same way they hear us, God speaks that simply to them. In fact, let me just share this and then I'll try to see if that doesn't answer your question. How's that? All through Scripture, God speaks to His people about wanting them to hear Him. Deuteronomy 5, 22 through 28. God still wanted His people to go up on the mount with Him, with Moses, but the people are afraid and frightened because God appears in a dark cloud and there's thunderbolts and there's lightning and the earth shakes, and they get terrified of God and they don't want to go. So they say, God, from now on, You speak to Moses, and whatever You tell Moses to do, we'll do. And you know what I've discovered today, people? God's people are the same. Speak to the leaders, let the leaders tell us what to do, and we'll do it. They don't want to hear themselves. And God wants everybody. He's called all of us to be priests, isn't that right? A priest hears God and understands God and looks to reconcile man to God and God to man. So, Psalm 81, verse 7 to 16, again, it speaks how God's people didn't want to hear. Well, John 8, verse 47 says simply this, He who belongs to God hears what God says. That's a profound statement. And I think the enemy has hoodwinked the church into believing that they can't hear God. And if we feel we can't hear God, it's like we put something into motion where the more we confess and the more we declare, Job 22:28, you'll declare a thing and it will be so. So if we declare you can't hear from God, guess what? Before long, you're not going to be hearing because you give up hearing because you don't hear. Does that make sense? But we are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And here's what Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35 says. Blessed. I don't know about you, but I like blessings from God. Don't you? Blessed are those that listen to Me, watching daily at My doors, waiting at My doorways. For those who find Me, find life and receive favor from the Lord. Wow, God wants us to hear from Him daily. He wants us to understand just in the same way. Like when I call my wife recognizes my voice, I recognize her voice. I think the more we communicate with God and the more we commune with God, the more we begin to recognize His voice. It's just part of and parcel of getting to know. In the same way with our children, the more they hear your voice as a parent, they know mom calling when they need to come in from playing. They know the voice. And I think that's why when we see the diversification of how God does speak to us, we begin to realize, oh, that was God speaking to me. And it's a simple thing still, even of submitting to God, resisting the enemy, and then daring to believe the thoughts that come to your mind are God's thoughts and that God is speaking to you. So, as I said to you, Samuel didn't know the voice of God in 1 Samuel 3, verse 7. And learning the language of God is a learned action. And in the world today, there's thousands of languages and they must be learned. Isn't that true? But I still think it's that how much more principle of God found in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. So what are those things? I'm going to quickly go through them because we want to have some time to put it into practice. One, God speaks in an audible voice. I've never had an audible voice from God. But Luke 3:23, verse 21 through 23, the Father speaks when Jesus is being baptized. Saul in Acts 9, verse 3, he hears God speaking to him. The second one, God speaks in a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:11 to 13, God speaks to the prophet, says, go up to the mouth of the cave. I'm going to speak to you there. He goes up, says, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's pouring rain, the wind is blowing, all of those things. And it said God wasn't in any of those things. But he spoke in a still, small voice, whispered in his ear, and said, this is the way, walk ye in it. And sometimes when God speaks in that still, small voice, it's just an inner voice within our spirits that we're hearing God say something. Thirdly, God guides us with His eye. He speaks to us with His eye. Psalm 32, verse 8. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a mom that she spanked me when I was little. It was an era of using switches because she had a switch used on her when she was a little girl. She was from Oklahoma, and that was just it. That was the way it was. But my mom, she would tell me when I would go to church, she would say, no, you sit there, and if you make any noise, you're going to end up getting a hiding. And I knew that if I got a hiding from her when I got home, my dad would give me a hiding as well. So I knew how far I could push her, and then she'd give me the eye, and I knew if I did any more that I was in trouble. And it was just her by her eye. And God, in the same way, says He's going to guide us by His eye. So that as we're sensitized to Him, we're able to recognize what God is wanting us to do. As He gives it. Number four, He speaks to us by angels. Philip in Acts 8:26. Peter in Acts 12, verse 6 and 7. Balaam in Numbers 22, verse 32. He just speaks through angels to us. And it says, you know, most of us will never even pick up a hitchhiker or anything anymore because we think they're an axe murderer or something. Yet the Scripture says that some of us will entertain angels and we will not. I used to think it was in our underwear, but it's actually, it says unawares. You needed to laugh there. I could see that. But some of us will entertain strangers and they're actually angelic hosts. And we don't understand it. Here's one that probably we have dismissed as Christian, trances. If I speak trance to you, the mindset would say that's of the occult. And this is very important to understand. Wherever there's something that's authentic, the enemy has always made a counterfeit. But what the dilemma is, because of the counterfeit, we've eliminated the authentic because we're fearful of the counterfeit. But you know what, people? It was through a trance that God brought the gospel of the kingdom to the Gentiles. But how, we've eliminated that way of God speaking to us. And a trance is, what is a trance? A trance is a moment when you completely lose consciousness of your physical surroundings because you're overcome by the Spirit of God. It seems you lose your logic and are overcome with what God is presenting to you as if it was always real. I'll send these notes. How's that? I'll send all my notes to Mark, and Mark can make them available to you. Is that okay? Because I can see you're struggling to write some of these things down. Okay. I won't even charge a royalty. Number six, God speaks through visions. Numbers 12, verse 6. And sometimes they're internal visions. And so often when I'm dealing with people or ministering to people, I'll see pictures. Just like I saw that rocket going across the screen. And I've learned, if you articulate what you see, you don't know the implications of what it's going to mean to that person until you say it. And sometimes they're external. 2 Kings 6, verse 17, and Acts 12, verse 9. It says with Peter, when that angel appeared to him while he was in prison, he said he didn't know if it was a dream or a vision, but it was really real. He didn't know which was. And only did he discover it was real when he got outside of the prison, was heading up the street, and the angel disappeared. He realized, oh, this did happen. Make sense? God speaks, number seven, through dreams. And countless times does He speak through dreams. Just a couple of them. Deuteronomy 13:1, Genesis 20:1-7 with Abimelech. Number eight. God speaks through visitations. Daniel 8:15. Daniel had a visitation, and sometimes visitations from God are life-altering, and many times they give the sense that one is that is receiving the visitation is going to die because the awesome presence of God is so strong. Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8 is another one where Isaiah says, this, you know, he sees God and he's overcome and he's overawed by it and he feels like he's going to die and he feels he's unclean. And all of these human manifestations transpire in his heart and in his mind. But he didn't die and none of that happened. But in it, he says, God, here I am, send me. He became willing through that visitation from God. Number 9, there are translations and transportations that go beyond human understanding. Philip in Acts 8:39, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 through 4, God speaks about that with Paul. Have you ever heard of a brother Young, brother Ong? Yeah. I have a friend that was traveling with him in China, Moses Vey. He's since passed away, earlier this year or late last year, I can't remember which. He lives in Southern California. We used to get together all the time. But he was traveling with Brother Ong. They ministered into a village that only had one road in and the same road out. That's the only way you could get in. And Brother Ong and them got word that the secret police were coming. So he told the group, you go ahead to the next village, which would be about, it was going to be about 50 or 75 kilometers away. And he says, I'll meet you there. And Brother Ong, when they drove through the uprights of the city gates of the city, Brother Ong was standing on the side of the road, which was humanly impossible to get 70 kilometers away. He just, God transported him to the place. I say, Lord, I'm going to the Middle East. Transport me. I don't want a 20-hour flight. Please, Lord. I'm trusting God to go to... Yeah. It isn't first class. No, it's instantaneous. I think I would like that too. Number 10, creation. God speaks to us through creation. Romans 1 verse 20, it says, not one person will have an excuse to stand before God and say they didn't know, because God speaks to everyone through creation, that there is a God. So, this has to help us, that if someone dies that you think never is heard, I want you to know, God spoke to them at least through creation, that they knew there was a higher power. Because God will never send someone to hell without having at least a confrontation of the gospel. God speaks through dreams. I said that. Number 8, I'm way ahead. Number 11, sorry. He speaks to us through Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 7, Daniel 9:2, Acts 2:16. He speaks to us in many, many more verses. I'm just throwing a couple out here. But he speaks through Scripture. Number 12, he speaks through tongues and interpretation. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10. He speaks through prophecy. Number 13, number 14, he speaks through impressions. If you ever had an impression, you shouldn't go a certain way or shouldn't do a certain thing, and you didn't go, and then later you hear on the news, oh, there was an accident. It's like recently I went to Northern California, and I just thought I shouldn't go down on the Wednesday. I'll wait and go down on the Thursday. Well, on the Wednesday, there was a big rig that turned over, and it blocked the whole freeway, and everybody was at a standstill for 8 hours. God preserved me from that. I just got in my car, went the next day, and didn't have any stops at all, just till I wanted to stop. 15, prophetic acts. Acts 21, verse 11, was a prophetic act. Number 16, signs and wonders. God speaks through them. Number 17, this'll shake you a little bit. Hold on to your seat. Mind reading. Luke 11:17. Jesus displayed this quality when it says, he answered their questions before they were asked because he knew what was in their mind. If Jesus displays that quality, then it should be available to you and I. And you know what? We really need that quality as leaders in the church, because most people that we counsel, I can't find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus counseled anybody. He just rebuked the devil, or sin, delivered them, set them free. But this I could say, most people in a one-hour counseling session, the first 55 minutes they're going around the mountain, and it's only the last five that the truth comes out. What the real issue is. Wouldn't you like it just for God to cut to the chase, reveal what's in their mind, and say, look, you've come saying this, but this is actually what you've come for. I've done that a couple times. And they said, but how did you know? And I said, because God revealed to me what that. Makes life a whole lot easier. Speeds up the process. Man, I think the enemy weighs God's leaders down with counseling when we just need to deal with it. See, there's only a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. And a lot of times we Christians sit on the fence. And how many of you know if you straddle the fence, if you fall, you could injure yourself? Ooh, you're very quiet on that one. But you know what God says? If you straddle the fence, says he dislikes that. He just would rather barf you out of his mouth. That's the bottom line. He'd just rather throw up and get rid of you. Hey, come on. We just need to realize the truth. It says you're in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. Either God's your father or the devil's your father. There are no in-betweens. If you're in between and trying to have one foot in each camp, God says, hey, you're not in my camp. I'll just barf you out. Then you can be all in his camp. I'll carry on now. Number 18, how many of you know circumstances can speak to you? Hey, the circumstances spoke to the children of Israel. They had cliffs and things on one side. They had the Red Sea on the other. They had Pharaoh's army coming at them. They were trapped. Circumstances prevailed. And so when God spoke, said, go into the Red Sea. And it parted. They said, I'm out of here, man. And they took off to go. I just saw a thing put on Facebook recently, archaeologists searching the Red Sea, underwater archaeologists. They found what seems to be the remnants of an Egyptian army there. They found all armor and weapons and bones of a whole army that was found. Wow. Number 19, God speaks out of dance. Jeremiah 31:13. I was in a meeting in Edmond, Oklahoma with a guy by the name David High, and a ballerina started dancing across... What's so funny? All right. And we're not talking about the charismatic shuffle, you know. But she was a ballerina. She danced for the Oklahoma City Ballet Company or something. She just started doing her ballet things across the front of the... You know what? The presence of God just... And people were on their knees just worshiping God and weeping because something was broken through her dance. Prophetic songs. Colossians 3:16. And sometimes we have what we call pathetic songs and we want them to be prophetic. And most prophetic songs actually, you know, there's a commercial in America that says what takes place in Vegas stays in Vegas. And most prophetic songs come to people while they're in the shower. Most prophetic songs should stay in the shower. It's true. I was in Cape Town ministering this last year, and a little old lady, about 80, came forward. She wanted to sing a prophetic song. Well, she sang a solo. She sang solo. Nobody could hear what she said. She just mumbled her words. And you know what? The presence of God just went out of the meeting. It took about 45 minutes for it to come back into the meeting after she sang her song of the Lord. I think it was maybe the Lord of the Flies or something. But it wasn't the Lord that I serve because it just left. But we have to be big enough to say, look, if I don't have a good voice, if I don't have a voice that's strong enough that people will hear what I'm saying, then I need to look for another modus operandi of how to share what I sense God saying to me. I had someone come to me and say, oh, how they loved how I sang last night over people. Well, I told Mark and Bridget, I've never done that before in a meeting. And they said, no, you'd never, we've never heard you do that. And they've heard me minister a lot through the years. I don't do that. But I felt compelled last night to do that. And the person said, it was so soothing to my spirit. I thought, that's wonderful. Hey, I want to be like David, who was prophetic to King Saul, that evil spirits departed. And Saul, there was a peace that came upon him in that equation. Now, I don't understand the dynamics of it, but what I'm really saying to you is if you don't have a voice to sing, then don't sing. Look for another way to share the word of the Lord. No, I'm serious. I'm really serious. Because everything we do is for edification. Everything we do is to build up. And if it isn't going to build up, we have to be honest enough with ourselves to deal with it. Isn't that true? Sometimes there's physical sensations. Often I feel pain. Just like Janine said, I was ministering to her, and then all of a sudden my elbow started hurting. And I said, look, do you have a problem there? Yes. I was in last Sunday, I was in a church in East LA, a Hispanic community, and I was ministering, and I was ministering to a lady, and I said, I don't know, so my instep of my right foot started to hurt, really hurt. And I just said, do you have a problem in your right instep of your foot? And she goes, no. I used to say, well, if they didn't acknowledge it, the person I was ministering, I would say, well, I'm sorry, I guess I'm wrong, I'm hearing wrong. And through the years now, God has begun speaking to ask people in that vicinity if they have that ailment. And the lady right behind her said, that's me. Well, I didn't touch her. I just said, begin to receive from God. I'd already taught them how to receive from God. She started receiving from God. After the meeting, she comes to me and she goes, you know, I hit my foot. I was certain that I broke some bones in my foot because there was just a huge lump that was there 2 days ago and it's been there. And she says, you know what? I have absolutely no pain and that lump is completely gone. So sometimes we'll feel sensations and pain. Now, often I've heard people say that you feel the sensations and pain because the person isn't receiving and you're feeling what they're rejecting. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that as we articulate what we're feeling, if they acknowledge that's them, then that gives opportunity for God to do it within them. Does that make sense? And at least in my history, I have found that to be true. And I'll give you an illustration of a lady who was, she had lung cancer and she had pelvic cancer. The cancer had eaten through her pelvic bone. She couldn't walk. In fact, her son-in-laws had carried her into a swimming pool. Then we baptized her because she wanted to be baptized before she died. And so she was lying in bed, and I went over, and I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he just said, I want you to be a cheerleader for her. Now, I had the images of these cheerleaders with their little pom-poms, and I thought, Lord, I can't be one of those. And he says, no, I just want you to encourage her. So I said, okay, I can do that. How many, you know, if we just listen to God and do what God tells us to do, we can do whatever he tells us to do, because he's never going to ask us to do something that's not possible. Isn't that true? If that can sink from here to here, God isn't going to embarrass you. If he speaks to you, he's doing it because he wants to do something. So we get to her house and she's lying in bed and she's trying to sit up. And I said, look, Joey, just relax. If God heals you, it's going to be God that heals you. I can't heal you anyway. So I stood at the foot of the bed and I said, let's just begin to worship God. So we started worshiping God, and I had a picture, but I saw her with a Bible under her arm, and it was like she was preaching up a storm. And I said, somehow, Joey, I don't think God's finished with you yet. And she goes, no, I don't think so either. And so I said, well, let's just keep worshiping God. So we did. And as we worshiped God, I had a picture. I saw the bed shaking, and I saw her shaking. And I believe we got to be biblical. So I did what the Bible says, watch and pray. So I opened one eye, and I peeked. And guess what? The bed was shaking and she was shaking. You know what? My faith level rose. And I said, Joey, I think God's doing something. And she goes, yes, I feel like he's doing something. And you know what? Then heat started going up my legs. So I said, Joey, I'm feeling heat come up my legs. Are you feeling that too? And she goes, yes. And I said, I believe God's healing your legs. I said, would you like to get up and try to walk? And she goes, yes. So I go around the side of the bed to help her. She says, if God's healing me, I don't need your help. And she stands up, and then she takes a little step, and she couldn't walk at all, and another step, and another. And then she had a long passage. She just began to run down the passage. And as she ran, I saw then that she had one of those see-through nightgowns on, and I was chasing behind her, and I thought, if somebody sees me chasing this old bird in a see-through nightgown, they're going to shoot me. And she ran around the dining room table, and I was running behind her, and then she just ran out her front door. And I thought, oh Lord, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Yeah. I get out there, but all of her neighbors ran around, but they weren't going to shoot me. They were weeping because they knew she was dying. And you know what? In a period of 2 weeks, her sharing her testimony, 27 people, friends and relatives, gave their lives to Jesus Christ. You know what? She lived another 7 years, died peacefully in her sleep, and she didn't have cancer. In fact, her kids, upon her death, gave me a letter her doctor had given her when she had the cancer and got healed. And he said, you're my first stage 5 cancer patient I've ever healed. They just wanted to give me the letter because they knew it was God. And they just wanted me to see how silly man was wanting to take credit for what God had done. That's the God that we serve. So sometimes you will feel physical sensations and pain. Number 22, there are spiritual happenings. Aaron's rod, Exodus 7, verse 8 through 13. You know the story. He throws his rod down. It turns into a snake. Guess what? Pharaoh's magicians threw their rods down. They turned into snakes too. The thing that makes it so significant is this, that history, they would write their personal history on their rods. And what it says to me is this, because Aaron's snake ate all their snakes up. And what that says to me, God was saying, the only history that counts is God's history. And that's really the bottom line, people. The only history that counts for us is God's history. What God is doing in us, what God is doing through us. In every way. Number 23, God speaks to us through people. And sometimes this one is one of the more difficult ones for us to read, see from, especially if it's our spouse. Because we see they just aren't as spiritual as we think they should be. Hey, come on. If you're a woman, you know your husband sometimes leaves his underwear on the floor or his socks or his jeans or something else. We see the shortcomings before we see the anointing. And that's where our focus is. And that has to be changed. That has to be broken. And it can come through people, through a song or words spoken in the night. Many, many ways God can speak through people to us. And in that story in 1 Samuel 3, verse 16 to 18, Eli said to Samuel, he said, whatever God tells you, you tell me. And God spoke to Samuel and said, Eli's sons are going to die because they have violated God's house. And Eli's going to die because he never corrected them. So he tells Eli that. And what does Eli say? That sounds right. Let it be. And guess what? His two kids were killed. And when the news of their death reached Eli, says he was a heavyset man, he fell over backwards and he broke his neck when he hit the ground. And he died. So people, God speaks to people. Be open to your spouse. My wife spoke to me a number of times about seeing a doctor about my health. Oh, I'm going to trust God. I'm believing God. Well, as I told you, faith produces a result. Obviously, I wasn't operating in faith because it didn't produce any result. But I've learned my lesson. I'll certainly consult her, listen more carefully. You see, God has given them as a helpmate. And there's probably 3 times in my life I didn't listen to her, or 4. And they're all 4 of those times I got myself in a mess. They're there to help us. I'm being frank with you. I'll be frank. You just be earnest, okay? Number 24, God speaks to us through smell. I was in a meeting in Malaysia, and there was no windows. The doors were shut. The air conditioned on. But there was such a fragrance in the room that people, they just said, oh, what is that fragrance? It was so sweet and pleasing. And it just seemed to emanate from some that God had touched that were just in la-la land, worshiping God in the Spirit on the carpet. And it was just like coming out. And it was just the smell that we knew God was there. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 16 speaks about us being a sweet fragrance of God and how it speaks to man. And this is the final one. And if this is how God's speaking to you, you need to see your leaders. You need help. I'm being honest with you now. And that's if God speaks to you through animals. You need help. That's the bottom of the barrel. You see, God tried to speak to Balaam so many different ways, and eventually his last resort was to speak through that donkey to him. Now, we all know a donkey can't speak, but God caused it to speak with the hope that Balaam would still repent, and Balaam did repent. Does that make sense? And I told you the reason the enemy doesn't want you to be prophetic is because he doesn't want you to be changed into a different person. Because you see, when we're transformed into a different person, we become mighty men and women of God. And he doesn't want to contend with us. You see, the Word of God says that demons like a dry and solitary and peaceful place. Let me say that again. Demons like a dry, solitary, and peaceful place. They don't want a wet place because the water speaks of judgment, of the judgment that came from God of Noah. And they realize they're under God's judgment, and at some point they're going to be judged too and cast into a lake of fire. And a peaceful place, because God said through Jesus that the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy it. And it tells us in Matthew that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and violent take it by force. God wants us to be a violent people, violently warring against the kingdom of darkness. And you see, as long as a church doesn't war against the kingdom of darkness and we're peaceful, we've actually become pacifists, and the devil's having a heyday. Because, you know, how does the Bible say that the devil comes against us? With what, his fiery darts? Huh? Yeah, how do you throw darts? You stand back and you just kind of loft those darts. Isn't that true? Okay. How many of you know that the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal, but secondly, they're for up-close combat. They're a sword. Sword, you can't fight somebody 25 feet away, but you can throw a dart from 25 feet away. So our weapons that God has given us is to be front-footed, be aggressive, and going forward. And as we go forward, the enemy has to retreat and back up to reposition himself to ever throw a fiery dart at us. But if we aren't actively aggressive fighting him, guess what happens? He just sits there, ho-hum. Oh, what a silly Christian. Ho-hum. Oh, ho-hum. He doesn't have, there's no effort or energy on his part. He can just perpetually come against us. That's why God says we don't live as on a cruise liner where it's all about us having a great time in God just for the sake of having a great time. But we've been positioned here to destroy the works of darkness. And as a prophetic people, God wants us aggressively setting the captives free. Amen.